God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message from the Holy Land. The encouraging word. In just a few moments, Dr. Wilton will be speaking from the Holy Land, but he wants you to know we're ready for you right where you are. You can call us at 866-899-WORD or visit us online at theencouragingword.org. We'd love to talk and pray with you. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Hello, everybody. What a wonderful time it is to be able to worship the Lord together like this. And I'm so grateful that we can have a relationship like this and that we can study God's Word together through the Encouraging Word broadcast. That's a great privilege. You're going to hear all kinds of sounds around me as we study God's Word together because of where I find myself teaching the Word of God today. Flying all around me are Israeli fighter jets. And I tell you what it does for me, folks. It helps me to realize where I am. Because where we are today, right on the edge of the battlefields of the plains of Armageddon, just think about that. I'm standing here, actually on Mount Gilboa, that is known so well for the place where Saul fell on his sword after hearing that his two sons had been killed in battle. And as I hear these Israeli jets flying around and the noises and the sounds of them above us, it just kind of contextualizes everything for you and for me because of where I am today. And if you could see it all, and you'll see pictures of this today, of the plains of Armageddon, this vast battlefield where the Bible tells us that this epic battle is going to take place, where the Lord Jesus Christ will come and he will take his stand against those who would seek his destruction and would seek to take his place. Well, how about that, eh? I mean, these jets are coming over so low here, I'm beginning to wonder whether they've spotted us here. And it's an amazing thing to be in Israel. I've come many, many times, and I wish that that some of you could come with me as I take trips here and as we study God's Word together. And so I want you to know that I'm praying for us today. And I've decided to just keep on teaching, even through all of the sounds of these fighter jets in this land that is so under siege, this land that is surrounded by enemies, this land that is so deeply divided, but this land that is so incredibly special because this is the place where Jesus came, where he was born in Bethlehem, just right down the road from here, where Jesus ministered amongst us, where he taught his disciples, where he tried to tell them over and over again that I, Jesus, am the bread of life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. This is that land where the Lord Jesus went to the cross and laid down his life, gave his life for you and for me, where he surrendered to the will of the Father in order that we might know him, where he conquered sin and death in the grave and gave his life for us. This is the land where Jesus, through his own life, his death, his burial and resurrection, demonstrated to us that we can have the victory in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And the greatest promise that we have of all is not just that we are forgiven of our sin. It's not just that we have an abundant life, but we've got the promise of heaven, of being able to go and be with Jesus forever and forever and forever and forever. And that's what I want us to study together. I want to speak today about the beginning of heaven. You've got questions about heaven, don't you? I do as well. You know, where exactly is heaven? What are we going to do? How do we get there? What are we going to look like? What are we going to do when we're in heaven? What does forever mean? Who is there already? How do we know that we know that we know that when we die, or if Jesus were to come back first, that we would be taken by the angels of God to be seated at the feast table of the King? So here's what I want to do today. And friends, this is going to be a wonderful time of worship together as we work through these things, particularly in the book of Revelation. So if you have the Bible, God's encouraging word, this word, I want you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Revelation and chapter 21. Remember chapter 21, chapter 22, the final two chapters of the book of Revelation. This incredible study of end times, this book that gives to us the full and complete revelation of God in Christ Jesus. This book that God gave to us by His Spirit through His servant John on the island of Patmos. This remarkable vision comes to a climactic moment in chapter 21, where we find our ultimate announcement of the beginning of heaven forever. And that's what I want us to study together today. So I'm going to read just a few verses to set the scene. All right, so I hope that you've got your Bible there, maybe a pen, a piece of paper, or maybe your iPad, a computer. You can take a few notes. There's going to be a lot of material here. You ready for this? All right, Revelation chapter 21. This is what God's word says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And so the one who was seated on the throne, we know exactly who that is, don't we? Said, I'm making everything brand new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done, because I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And he who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and you will be my son. You will be my daughter. That is a word for you today, my friend. This is God's encouraging word. God has made an announcement, a declaration from the very throne of God. And guess what? He has included you and me in His declaration. We are a part of this because we have given our hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I stand here in this remarkable place, in the battlefields of Armageddon, I want to know what I think you want to know. How does all this begin? When does heaven, as God describes it, when does it begin? Well, let's take a journey together. Just a couple of things for us to think about as we study God's word. First of all, heaven begins when Jesus comes back for the second time. Heaven begins when Jesus comes back to this earth for the second time. So now, let's just remind ourselves of a couple of things. You have heard me say and we've been studying this together. So put on your thinking cap and just remember these things. There are three comings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you remember what they are? If someone was to ask you right now, what are the three comings of Jesus in relation to us, what would you tell them? Well, let's be reminded. Coming number one, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How much we love Christmas, don't we? What a wonderful time of the year. That's coming number one. When Jesus Christ laid aside his divine right at the right hand of the Father in heaven, took upon human flesh, was born through the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit, right there in Bethlehem of Judea, just actually down the road from where I'm standing right now. Jesus, the Christ child. And you'll remember how his parents took him to the temple where he was dedicated and blessed of Simeon in the temple, and how he grew up, how he began to gather his disciples to himself. Yes, that is the first coming of Jesus. Coming number two is the coming of the Lord Jesus in the clouds. We've studied that before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 15 and following. Bible tells us about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 reminds us of that. Jesus is going to come in the clouds. And it's an unbelievable moment. Some people have popularized this by calling this or referring to this as the rapture of the church. So what does it mean, this coming of Jesus? It means that at a time appointed and known only by the Father which is in heaven, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself, with a shout of the archangel, with a trumpet sound, is going to come up in the clouds. And the Bible says that he's going to bring with him all those who have already fallen asleep in him, all those who have already died. One of my absolute most dearest friends, Dr. Max Lennon, a precious man, a man that I love so dearly, former president of Clemson University and Mars Hill College, just a great Christian gentleman, died very suddenly and immediately was taken into heaven, transported by God's angels. Yep, that's who's going to be there if Jesus were to come in the clouds right now. But you know, we don't know when that time is, so I might be one of those people too. And you may be as well. That's why we need to make sure that we've given our hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message in just a moment. But so many of you have been asking us about what it is to get the email from Dr. Don. It's called the Daily Encouraging Word email, and the details are on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. You can sign up today, and within 24 to 48 hours every morning, you receive some insight from God's Word through Dr. Don Wilton, some application of God's Word. And again, it just takes a few moments. It'll help jumpstart your day for sure. Sign up right now online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's teaching with Dr. Don.
All people who are with him are going to come. Those who are alive and remain on this earth, which tells us, by the way, that man will never be able to destroy himself. Not a nuclear bomb, not a major catastrophe. Man does not have the ability to erase, to eradicate, to vaporize himself on this earth. Only God is going to terminate what you and I know to be the order of this earth. We can do a lot of damage to ourselves, and we've seen that. And we can see a lot of loss of life, and we've seen that. But when Jesus comes, the Bible says those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet those who are already in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that will precipitate a whole series of events over a seven-year period of time that will culminate with the second coming as we know it of the Lord Jesus, which I'm now referring to the third coming of the Lord Jesus. Coming number one, born in Bethlehem. Coming number two, in the clouds. Coming number three is what we know as the second coming, because that's the second time that Jesus will come to this earth. And the Bible tells us that in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, where Jesus will come, heaven will open and release the Son of Man, and he will come riding on a white horse, accompanied by you and me, the armies of heaven riding on white horses. And according to the prophets, he's going to land on the Mount of Olives, and the mountain will be split in two, and rivers of living water will flow out of him. Half will go to the eastern sea and half to the western sea, and the Dead Sea will come alive again. And Jesus will march down the Mount of Olives, and he will go through the Golden Gate, and he will re-establish his kingdom right there, the temple of the living God, because he is the temple, and establish the headquarters of heaven permanently and forever, because he will never again leave this earth. Because what we've just read, remember? Oh yeah, right there in Revelation chapter 21, God said it. He said, from now on, I will make my dwelling place upon this earth among men. Friends, I got an announcement to make. I'm standing in what will be the new Garden of Eden. You and I cannot comprehend that. But what's going to happen when heaven begins, eternal heaven, is that the new order will take place. Remember, God said, behold, I have made everything new. Everything new. Everything is now recreated. We now revert back to what it intended to be before the in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. So that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus coming back will precipitate the beginning of heaven. You get that? I want you to get that. I want you to take hold of that. And I want you to understand that, even as some raindrops begin to fall upon me right here in the battlefields of Armageddon. You know, even as a little bit of rain begins to fall, I cannot help but think of all the complexities of life, how rain comes and the wind blows and tornadoes and ups and downs of life, and yet there is Jesus. And he said, look to me, because I'm the author and the finisher of life. I am who I am. And I want you to know today, as we study this wonderful subject of when heaven begins, that it's all going to take place according to the scripture. Step number one, Jesus comes back. Step number two, the battle takes place. The battle takes place. Beginning in verse 19 of Revelation chapter 19, this Bible begins to outline for us one of the most unbelievable battles ever known to mankind. Ever known to mankind. Now, I just want to break this news to you quietly and softly. Because a lot of people I hear say, you know, the Battle of Armageddon is the final battle. Well, not really. Because the Battle of Armageddon in chapter 19 is an unbelievable battle at which Antichrist and the false prophet are taken into permanent custody and are banished from the presence of a holy and a righteous God forever. But then we get into chapter 20, and there's going to be another battle when fire is going to come down out of heaven and is going to devour the enemies of God And Satan himself, the third and the most important member of the unholy Trinity, is going to be taken into captivity. And God's word says that he's going to be thrown into the bottomless pit, into eternal damnation, where both the false prophet and Antichrist, and he is going to be there forever and ever. That is his eternal damnation and separation from a holy and a righteous God. But enough about which battle and that battle and this battle. The fact of the matter is, a battle's going to take place right here behind me. Here's what the Bible says. You can have a look at it for yourself, but I'd love to read to you just a little words, because I love to hear what the Bible says according to what the Bible says. So listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. So we're in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and of generals and of mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great." Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. And with these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and had worshipped his image. And the two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And the rest of the dead were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves on the flesh. You see, folks, right here behind me in these fields, the Bible says the kings of the earth, the generals, the great men, all these nations, all the haughtiness, the pride. How many times do you hear people get up and make grandiose pronouncements about who we are as people? You know, we've turned into a people of hero worshipers. We place so much money in the wrong places. I'm all for being a good citizen. I believe in good citizenship. In fact, as a believer, I'm compelled to be so. I love my country. I love being involved. I want to teach young people to stand up and to be involved. I've told a lot of people in my life that even though I'm at my age, you know, I'd find it so hard if Congress issued an order that all able-bodied men had to put on the uniform of the United States to defend the greatest country ever. I'm a great admirer with the deepest gratitude for our men and women, our veterans from all our wars, people who have sacrificed so much, traveled so far, laid down their lives, what people have done for this country. I cannot say enough, but be careful, my friends. Be careful. Because God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Idolatry is the worship of anything and anyone other than God. Idolatry is the worship of anything or anyone other than God. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And at the battlefield of Armageddon, I believe God shows us something here. I believe this is when the Lord Jesus says, "I've told you, you didn't listen, and so now I'm going to have to eliminate you." And right here in these battlefields of Armageddon, these plains, here they come, kings, generals, mighty men of valor, every kind of armament you can imagine, every kind of missile you and I can possibly conceive of, the might of man coming against the holy righteousness of Almighty God. The Bible says that when Jesus the Christ lands on the Mount of Olives and he reclaims his kingdom seat right there at Mount Moriah, he's going to march across these hills of Samaria, followed by the armies of God, which is you and me, all of those of us who have trusted him as Savior and Lord. And right here in these plains of Armageddon, he's going to be confronted by the might of man, led by the viciousness of the unholy Trinity. Guess what? Not a shot's going to be fired. Guess what? You're not going to have to brandish a sword. You're not going to have to drive a tank. Guess what? You're not going to throw a hand grenade. Guess what? You're not going to have to dig a trench. Guess what? You're not going to have to do a thing. Because the Word of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, just by virtue of his mouth, will just speak defeat. And the Bible says that the enemy that comes against him will be literally wiped out to the extent that even in these fertile plains of Armageddon, the blood will rise as high as the bits on horses' mouths. Yep, heaven's about to begin. Are you going there? Are you ready to go to heaven? Make sure you've given your heart to Jesus right now.
My goodness, such intensity. As we study God's Word, I pray that you are opening your heart to not only the truth of Scripture and what it means with regard to the history that's to come, the future, but also your future and what God is ready to do in your life. He has called us to broadcast this to let you know he loves you and has a plan for your life. I pray you'd open your heart to what Dr. Don's going to say next here on The Encouraging Word.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you just gave your life to Jesus, praying that prayer with Dr. Don, oh, we welcome you to the family. Maybe it's rededicating your life. Either way, we would love to put resources in your hands. Give us a call and let us do that at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online, keyboard to keyboard, at tewonline.org. As a matter of fact, that web resource, tewonline.org, is growing every day.
Do you know someone that could use some encouragement? We're here to help. Visit our online web store at tewonline.org. It's like having a Christian bookstore at your fingertips 24 hours a day. You will find sermon messages, books, and outreach cards. Let us take care of the shipping and help you send a word of hope today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
What a great week here at The Encouraging Word. Looking forward to a grand weekend. Remember, if you want to connect with us over the weekend, maybe be a part of our worship services, you'll find the details on our website at tewonline.org. We'd love to connect with you, tewonline.org.